Hey, y'all. Winning at life. Yeah, this is the Money Show, Financial Talk. Gosh, last night, busy with the callers. Kind of surprised me, which was good. Started with a great Social Security call, and then it was lots of calls there after everybody got involved. Great, great questions.
Sheila in Bogalusa, you're on Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Sheila?
Hi. My husband is already drawing his Social Security. I am 62 and I have not turned mine on yet. My question is, when I turn mine on, do I also draw my portion and half of his portion?
Sheila?
Yes.
You could, what year were you born?
1958.
So, being you were born after January 1 of 1954, when you turn on your benefit, whether it be the spousal benefit from the worker's record or your own record, you're going to draw whichever is larger when you turn that on. Now, turning it on at 62 is not FRA, so you're going to have a reduction when. So you won't draw yours and half of his. You're going to draw whichever is bigger in that case. But it will, once again, I reiterate, it will be reduced because you are turning it on prior to full retirement age.
Well, I'm not really ready to turn it on. I just was curious to know because someone had told me that I could turn mine on and then still, while I'm drawing mine, draw half of his. So that was the question. No, I'm not. I would like to wait to full retirement age if possible.
Yeah, that was not quite accurate doing both. Back in the day, but you know, we have some people that are still doing this because they were born before January 1 of 1954. So they had the option to turn on the spousal benefit and defer their own record. But we've never had the case where you could draw your record and half of the spouse. No matter, at some point it gets to whichever is larger for you to do so. And you know, the preferred age is full retirement age to turn on Social Security. But, you know, there's life kind of dictates that is all that. Sometimes people are justified to turn it on early, but it is reduced. Anything else for you, okay. Sheila?
No, that's it. Thank you, awesome. Gregory and James. Y'all are just full of all kinds of great information for us who are listening. Appreciate your show. Thank you so much. Have a great night.
Thank you.
Thanks. That's nice for me because I got credit. Didn't have to say a word.
You help. There's no doubt about that.
Well, her friend didn't help. She got some bad advice there. So clearly this isn't someone who's gone and done that before. They just heard from someone and I think that this is the rules. And it sounds nice because she'd rather get two checks. It's just not true, though. We've heard that one before a few times.
Yeah, I was talking with one of my advisors this afternoon, and they were recalling a story where somebody had came in and was questioning them about what they were planning to do regarding turning on Social Security. And it was probably similar to that of trying to draw from both ends, so to speak, mm-hmm. of it. And they said, no, it wouldn't work. And the person, as they were walking out, you know, you might should run this by Gregory. Because
okay.
I think you got it wrong, is telling one of my advisors. And then it actually came up on the show a little bit later. And my advisor, team member, told me, it said, you know, you said it word for word, just like I had told that guy. So it was kind of interesting that, you know, it's just... In one way, it makes me feel good, but I'm glad we're the kind of go-to place on so many of these topics there. But they're telling one of my guys that I've trained that you need to go ask Gregory.
Yeah. The funny part is that guy really wants to get both checks. He wants that to be the rules, but you can go ask whoever you want. They're generous, but not that generous.
That was probably just wanting that to be the correct answer of getting both there. So,
well, I can't blame you because if you are able to get that, doesn't that mean your spouse could do the same thing to you and y'all could both be getting four checks? And man, retirement just got a lot easier. I'm going to get my record and have her record.
They didn't think about that case scenario. They're figuring maybe only one of them can do the getting both.
Yeah, hey, the trust fund is draining fast enough. They don't need you guys coming up with new ways to leak more money out of that sinking ship. Plus, look, on the highlight, the headline I was wanting to talk about later, is it really possible to retire with $100,000 or less in savings? If that was the Social Security rules, yeah. Yeah, that'd be that process just got a lot easier. Because Social Security, huge decision. When we talk about, is it possible to retire with $100,000 or less, if you're getting a $25,000 Social Security check, or what's the numbers you use? Like, how much money would it take to replace that?
You know, when you're Social Security in the household, you know, if both people are drawing, what, $1,800 a month, then they're drawing $3,600 a month in Social Security. What if one of them has $1,000 a month in pension? Now you're at $4,600 a month, and you've got a pretty good emergency stash. But, you know, to kind of say they're drawing $4,600 a month, all of Social Security is not going to be taxable, but just say it is all taxable. But yet they say, you know, I don't have any mortgage, no bills, you know, we only need $2,000 a month. So yeah, you could retire on less than having $100,000 because you have you both have Social Security. One of you have a pension and it doesn't cost much. That's really the barrier right there. And the thing is, less than 25% of the workers out there have a pension. So it's more incumbent upon you of accumulating assets, and you're probably going to need more than $100,000 because in essence, what is your 401k? What's the purpose of having that? And once again, everybody does not have company plans, whether it's public service, nonprofit companies, or private sector. Everybody doesn't have that. But what's the purpose of that? It's to create your own personal pension program there. You're supposed to take and turn that into an income generating machine there, along with Social Security. If you're paying into that, that should be part of your arsenal.
Miss Sims in New Orleans, you're on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Mrs. Sims?
I have a question about pension plans, or pension money. Let me give you just a little background. My husband worked for this company for a few years, and when he passed away I lost him in Katrina. But when he passed away, he was not working for the company at that time. He had moved on. In November, I got a phone call from a company, and they said that I was due a pension. And not only were they going to start the pension, but they were going to pay me all the back pay from 2005 when he passed with interest. And so I received that money, and I have three questions about it. I got a lump sum plus a monthly payment that I'm going to receive. And I assume that money is taxable at the regular rate?
Yes, it will be taxed as ordinary income.
Ordinary income.
Yes.
Okay. My second, is there any required minimum distribution that I have to do with that money?
No.
Is it treated that way?
It was paid directly to you, correctly?
Yes.
Yeah, so there's no RMD on that. You've already received the money.
Yes. Okay. And thirdly, can I put that money into a Roth IRA? Can I turn it over into a Roth IRA?
You cannot, because that was a distribution from a plan. It's already been distributed to you. And for you to put it into an IRA or the Roth version of an IRA, you would have to still be working or generating earned income to qualify for that contribution.
Oh, okay. Because I thought since it was a retirement pension that it could go to a Roth, but you're saying it can't.
It cannot, because it's not earned income to you. And
to me,
what you're
okay.
referring, you
oh,
can't
I see.
Roll that over into that account because it's a distribution from a pension.
Okay. Well, that answers all my questions. It was a windfall, I must say this. I'm happy with it, but I just had to get these things answered, you know.
Yes,
it was
ma'am.
15 years of it plus interest, so it was nice.
Well,
I totally unexpected. I was not aware that I had this coming to me. And the way it was found is some other company took over the finances of this previous company, and they were going through the records, and that's how it was found.
So you were unaware that he had this pension from his past. Wow.
That I was due any spousal money from it.
This sounds like a lottery winning almost, Gregory. 15 years of missed pensions. It's a big little chunk,
it is found money. You know, it's like, I was going through the attic and opened this big old chest, and it was full of retirement money. And that's what she's got. Yeah.
So it's just regular income on my taxes. I pay tax on it. And the income I receive every month from now on is still just regular income.
Yes, ma'am. It will be taxed, you know, once again, as ordinary income. Has the monthly payment started?
Yes.
So how do you feel about the monthly amount?
I received a lump sum payment in December.
Okay.
So it's in 2020.
Okay.
And then the monthly payments also started December the 1st. So I am receiving it.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, well, I wish I could put it in the Roth, but that's the way it goes. Okay.
Yes, ma'am. But you can put it in savings.
Oh, yes.
You'll need it for future. That
absolutely
definitely be
well,
the plan.
Well, thank you very much.
Hey, thanks for sharing your story, and it's a very happy story to share
when
money shows up like that. If you need anything, let us know.
I will. Bye-bye.
Oh, Mrs. Sims, I'm so jealous because I'm waiting for someone to give me a call. Be like, hey, you got 15 years of missed payments here. Here's at least a six-figure, probably a seven-figure check of some sort.
And you could go through any number of scenarios where somebody's like almost probably drove off the road just saying, like, what? She didn't know about it? No. And you know, and we didn't delve into how they came together and how could that possibly be. But yeah, it could be where somebody, you know, it might have been 10 years ago they quit working at that job and they just didn't live long enough. And now, and she didn't know about it. So, you know, another decade passes. And yeah, she's the beneficiary. They owe her that money. They cannot avoid paying her that. It's her money.
Part of me thinks, man, they could have got away with it if they hadn't said anything. It's awesome to see them doing the right thing. But you do wonder, even without anyone's ill intention, even if everyone's trying to do the right thing, how many of these fall through the cracks? There's got to be a few of them here and there. Isn't that a scary thought?
I would have to say there probably is, but we hope it's rare for essentially what happened is somebody going through it. You know what was done? It was audited.
Some company bought another company and they went to clean up the books and found a bunch of stuff that had fallen through the cracks.
Yeah. And that's also, it goes on to, we've had this discussion before regarding life insurance that people have policies die and insurance companies kind of used to like not go looking for clients that have died, but now that playing field's kind of changed and they have to go out there and look for them.
All right. I'm interested in this topic that is addressed by an article written by Katie Brockman of The Motley Fool, where she asked, is it really possible to retire with $100,000 or less in savings? Now, of course, the answer is you can retire with $0 in savings. You're just not going to like your standard living. You're probably going to have to move in with one of your kids or a sibling or a friend. But when Gregory has to address this on the show, I was pleasantly surprised on how many times he's walked through someone who sounded really dire when they called in. Look, I'm about to retire and all I have is $80,000, or I'm about to retire, all I have is $120,000, somewhere in the neighborhood of $100,000. And Gregory calmly walks them through the steps. And by the time they get off the phone, look, things are still looking pretty tight, but not impossible. So explain, where does the hope come from for someone who just feels like there is no hope under them? Well, when they retire with $100,000.
James, is where are they in the situation? So this is, they're not retired, but they're wondering, can I retire? And kind of some core things there is to figure out what your living expenses are going to be. What are you going to need to retire? What do you have to survive? And I could phrase that way. Well, what do you need to make your life go? What do you need to be comfortable? Some of those questions might not sound the right way, but ultimately, how much are you going to need every month to pay your bills, have food, to live how you want to live? And for everybody, that's different. It has to do with their lifestyles, their travel, their obligations, their kids, their family, also going about their health. So that is a different answer for everyone. But with that said, is where are they trying to get to? Is that number fits within, say, their Social Security number at that point? If not, you know, then you've got, are you, you're wanting to retire. So when are you thinking about doing this? At age 62, 64, 65, 66, 68, 70. Now, if they're not going to have that amount they're needing, say in the 62 before full retirement age, I would be more about, you're probably going to need to work longer to see what is that government pension going to be. That's Social Security. That's what it is. So how does that build up? And if you're going to kind of be in a bind, ultimately the response is you're going to need to work as long as possible up to age 70 from a Social Security standpoint that caps that out. Now, when you look at the 100,000, say at 4% income stream from, well, that gives you 4K a year.
Which you can't live off 4K a year now, but
it can be added to the Social Security. It does give you emergency money. And I think that's more of when from time to time you're going to need more money. You can't call up Social Security and say, hey, give me 6 months in advance. That's a fixed income. But if we've got time, like if you're asking me that question at 55, I look at it, you've got at least 10 years. You shouldn't even be considering retiring before age 60. Five. Why? Medicare starts at age 65. If you're trying to retire, okay, how are you handling health insurance? Do you know what that cost is? I was having a discussion today, and I said, you know, when you're thinking about health costs and you're in your 50s and 60s, I tell you what you have to think of is $1,000 plus a month to pay for it per person. That's really where you're at. And you shouldn't be retiring without healthcare coverage. You should not chance that gap. What, so many things can go bad and be devastating, but if you have a health problem, you need the coverage. I tell you what, you know, say, well, they're supposed to repair me anyhow if I don't have it, but yeah, they're just not as eager to, and they are going to want to collect that money. So they're probably going to want you 100,000 that we're talking about there. But from that standpoint, you shouldn't consider it prior to 65. So if you're 55 asking me that question, you've got 10 years, but you've actually got longer because we could go up to age 70.
One guy called in, I remember this about 5-6 years ago, and you were talking him off the ledge because there were two tweaks you made to his plan. Number one, you were telling him work till age 70. You're going to get about a 30-something percent more on your monthly Social Security check. And if you accelerate your mortgage payment and you can get that paid off before you retire, then that is going to come off of your monthly expenses. So you're pushing on both ways. You're up in your inflow and lowering your outflow. And that almost made him whole right there to where he's thinking, wow, if I get a part-time job on top of this, I'll actually have a little extra money.
Yeah, that could have been well in that question. Well, what are your monthly expenses? Well, they could have a mortgage payment. But then the other part of that is, well, when will that be paid off? When can we get that paid off? And they were probably adding some extra money to that. But that's where we're on the hunt of these conversations here to figure out how to get them in a better place. And, you know, and we'll call him Joe in this case. Joe's probably not going to have a tax problem if that's all he has is Social Security as his retirement option. And then if he's working longer, can you add to that 100,000? And one, we're not talking about putting it to risk, but we need to be careful with it. And It just might should be savings, but then you've got what's going to be more important. Can you add to that? So if he's working 15 more years, can he add a few thousand a year to that? That's going to be impactive. Now, can we get the 100,000 to 120? It's the same answer. If they have 100,000 or they have 10,000, they're going to need to work as long as they possibly can, at least to age 70 if possible.
Dustin and Homa, you're on Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Dustin?
Hey, Greg, I'm a young, dumb kid when it comes to money. I kind of ruined my credit. Credit score is in like the 290 range. But I just got to a point in my life to where I have a decent amount of income and I'm starting a little savings thing going on. Question is, how could I work on fixing my credit? And it's literally in the like 10, 15,000 range to get everything off my record. But how could I consolidate all of that debt to where I can actually work on getting a house or something? And I'm 30, by the way, so I feel like I have time.
Maybe. So you put out there that you kind of have 10 to 15,000 in debt?
In debt, yes, sir.
Okay. How's your job going?
I work for the United States Postal Service, and I'm, like I said, I just got to a point to where I can actually put X amount of dollars in the savings every month.
Do they let you work side gigs?
What's that? By...
Do they let you have a job after hours? I don't know about how employment or they control that, but can you pick up side job?
Do we make like over? Oh, like conflict of interest? That's a great question. I have no idea. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
I mean, the income isn't the problem. My real problem is just like, how do I take care of all this extra debt that I've accumulated over the years?
Well, then income is the problem because you need to pay off that as soon as possible. You need to focus on it and get it knocked down. And that will help the credit as well in doing so. And then having the ability to, when you do get to have some credit, that somebody will extend you credit that you utilize and you make sure you are never late on payments. You should never be late. You know, I'll give to the like, gosh, I forgot I was on vacation in Hawaii. I forgot to send in the payment. We can have so much automated, so much reminders, and the purpose of credit is showing them you can trust me when you give me your money, because you're getting somebody else's money with the promise to pay them back over time.
Right.
And that's what they want, is showing you have a history of keeping your word. And you've just got to accelerate that to get to that point. If we can be a further help, call us, Dustin. Thanks for listening to Winning at Life.
If you want to get in touch with Gregory outside the show, his office number is 504-832-9200, or you can always find him at gregoryricks.com, your home away from the show, winningatlife.com, and the Winning at Life app. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Investment advisory services offered only by duly registered individuals through AE Wealth Management, LLC. AE Wealth Management, Gregory Ricks & Associates, W.J. Blanchard Law, LLC, J. Heath & Company, and Mortgage Gumbo are not affiliated companies. Investing involves risk, including the potential loss of principal. Any references to protection, safety, or lifetime income generally refer to fixed insurance products, never securities or investments. Insurance guarantees are backed by the financial strength and claims-paying abilities of the issuing carrier. This radio show is intended for informational purposes only. It is not intended to be used as the sole basis for financial decisions, nor should it be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual's situation. Annuities are insurance contracts designed for retirement or other long-term needs. They provide guarantees of principal and credited interest subject to surrender charges. Annuity guarantees and protections are backed by the financial strength and claims paying ability of the issuing insurer. Roth conversion is a taxable event and may have several tax-related consequences. Be sure to consult with a qualified tax advisor before making any decisions regarding your IRA. Hypothetical examples have been provided for illustrative purposes only. It does not represent a real-life scenario and should not be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual situation. Gregory Ricks & Associates is not permitted to offer, and no statement made during the show shall constitute legal or tax advice. Our firm is not affiliated or endorsed by the U.S. government or any governmental agency. The information and opinions contained herein provided by third parties have been obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed by Gregory Ricks & Associates. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.